You are Locked On NBA Draft, your daily podcast on the NBA Draft, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On NBA Draft. My name is Richard Stamen. I've got a really fun episode for you today. I'm going to go over three sleeper guards who I think are all second-round prospects but could return late first-round, mid-first-round value pretty quickly. I think, you know, these are guys who have decently high floors that are being overlooked or very high ceilings. So I'm going to go over those three guys, and that is Illinois' Ayo Dosunmu, Vanderbilt's Scottie Pippen Jr., son of NBA and Bulls legend Scottie Pippen, and Francis Matthew Galzin. So if this is your first time listening, I'm going to be doing my scouting reports. I always do these. I post these to MavsDraft.com. So these kind of go hand in hand to elaborate a little bit more than what the text shows on the online scouting reports. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. So in this episode, I'm going to, again, go over those three sleepers. Going to just kind of preface this with the fact that I lost my voice on Friday. My name on Twitter is at MavsDraft, and I did go to the Mavs game, and I may have cheered a little bit too hard, turned into a fan a little bit much. So I apologize if my voice is a little bit raspier than it normally is. But hopefully that doesn't turn you off too much, and I can, you know, get going in this episode and not have you, you know, begging me to stop talking in the middle of this. So going to dive into it with Ayo Dosunmu. I posted my scouting report on him yesterday on Monday about, you know, how I see him as a good buy low in the second round. So I'm going to start off with, you know, just simple measurements and everything. He came in at 6'5", 200. He hasn't officially measured in the combine. A lot of these may not age that well because we don't know their wingspans, and we won't know the wingspans until the NBA combine happens in the end of this month in June. But at 6'5", 200 pounds, he has long arms. It's not hard to see. He also, for the year, he was a junior, average, really broke out. He was the number one junior in this draft class heading into the season. I thought he could have gone second round last year had he stayed in, but he decided to return, and, you know, it really paid off. Illinois was a one seed. Unfortunately, they lost to Loyola Chicago, but he ultimately still had a very successful season. Went to 20 points per game, 5.3 assists per game, 6.3 rebounds per game, averaged a steal a game. He had six blocks on the year, so 0.2 per game, 3.3 turnovers per game, and that was on shooting splits, pretty impressive, of 49% from the field, 39% from three, and 78% from the free throw line. So a couple things jump out. First of all, 25-5 is really impressive as a college guard. You don't see that too terribly often. You see it more in upperclassmen like Dosunmu, but still really impressive and not the most common thing. So that stands out. And then also the turnovers on the other end. You know, he does have 3.3 turnovers per game, less than 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. Thought maybe my voice being lost would be my worst thing, but apparently I can't even keep my thoughts straight. So also that stands out, 39% from three with 78% from the free throw line. Those two usually go hand in hand. So I'm going to get to that a little bit, why not too terribly high on his shooting, despite the numbers really indicating I should be. But going to start with, you know, I go down the list again, first time listening. I go down tools, pros and cons, kind of just a summary, best case, worst case, median case, kind of how I look at him, their role in the NBA, some similarities in where I see him going in the draft. So with Ayo's tools, he's going to live on three different things, and two of them kind of, they almost all go hand in hand. He thrives in transition, outstanding athlete. He's a really good defender, again, good athlete, and slashing is the other tool, and again, good athlete. So starting with the pros, it starts with the fact that he's an excellent transition player, can, you know, be a passer or scorer in transition, equally effective. He's really creative as a slasher in the half court. He can use screens. He can just deceive you with his quickness and deceleration. He can stop on a dime pretty quickly. He's really good in the pick and roll. He has a very quick first step, which helps him in both those last two areas as a slasher and just overall in the pick and roll. It throws off defenses. He loves contact at the rim. He's relentless going to the rim and finishing at the rim. He doesn't mind absorbing contact and, you know, taking it against a big. He shot 65% according to Hoop Math at the rim. So very impressive on that end. On the defensive end, you know, he has active hands, quick feet, great defensive IQ. He reads plays before they happen, and that's mostly in the zone defense. He's, you know, a lot of NBA teams have started to move towards that zone defense, and that's going to help him a lot in the NBA. And then one last pro, this goes back to the playmaking. I forgot to mention this, but he has really good vision on the drive. He's a good driving kick player, can see guys all around the court, really benefits him in an area he'll be playing in the NBA, which is in five out offenses. So on to the other end, the cons of Ayo Dosunmu. So I said I would talk about, you know, the shooting and how I don't necessarily believe in the 39% from three and 78% from the line numbers. Those are a bit misleading. I think first and foremost, you know, he struggles to hit jumpers, especially on the move, you know, off the dribble jumpers, as well as I think it kind of goes hand in hand with the fact that his base is just so wonky. He doesn't really sit still when he's or stand still when he's jumping, you know, the legs kind of flail out. It's really hard for him to get a steady base. It doesn't always look like he's square towards the basket. So those are some concerns I have with Ayo on the shooting end. Some other areas I have issues with, and one other thing actually on the shooting before I forget this, he also kind of struggles to shoot over defenses. That's kind of an issue also as a shooter. So those are three eye test flaws that really stand out to me, even though the numbers back it up. Again, it was his best shooting year of his career. Could it have been a fluke? Who knows? But the other two areas I see as flaws and weaknesses are that he struggles against traps and that when defenses really tighten up on him, he kind of loses his handle. So he didn't average even two assists to one turnover. So I think he really needs to work on tightening that handle and just not lose it in traffic. And then on the defensive end, he's out of stance a little bit. That's really the only flaw I would say is out there for him on defense. Very fixable. It's a minor issue. So what I'm expecting to see from Ayo Dosunmu in the NBA, I expect him to be a backup point guard. He provides some defense, some slashing and getting to the rim, decent amount of playmaking, hopefully limited turnovers, and pretty much playing in a multi-guard lineup with a strong pick-and-roll big man. You know, he had Kofi Coburn to play next to, one of the best pick-and-roll role men in the entire country. If he has someone like that in the NBA next to him, he can really thrive. I'm going to get to it in a minute, but some of the best fits you'll see, one of them is a perfect fit with one of the better big man role mans in the NBA. And it'll really benefit him and really bring out the best of his game, I think. So he's the worst case scenario for him pretty much is, you know, if teams force him to shoot moving threes or to just shoot threes in general. And this happened actually in the Loyola Chicago game in the NCAA tournament. They went under screens and they kind of just forced him to shoot, you know, to have Illinois shoot themselves in the foot by having him, you know, do what he's worst at the most. So he really needs to work on that moving three and in general, just jump shot, keeping it consistent. It took away his driving lane. So how effective can he be when he's not slashing? Those are big questions for him. I think he exceeds expectations. If he is able to shoot and reduce turnovers, those are going to be far and away the two biggest areas of improvement for him. He can easily overcome anything if that's the case. And obviously it's a big task because three of the five weaknesses were shooting based. So it's not going to be something easy, but if he can be reliable, not necessarily good, just reliable and respected as a jump shooter, I think you'll really see big strides from him. So some of his best fits, I see San Antonio, Toronto. Those are two spots who, even though San Antonio already has a guard, I think they need another guard who can put more pressure on the rim. And then Toronto I think they're going to lose Kyle Lowry. I think they also need a guard. But the one I alluded to earlier was Atlanta. You know, they have Clint Capela, who's one of the best pick and roll men in the entire league. If you put him with Ayo Dosunmu, I think you see a lot of similar success to what he saw at Illinois. So those are three teams I see as best fits. And for the projected draft range, I see him going anywhere from the very end of the first round to the middle of the second. So kind of a 20-pick range, 25 to 45. And then players he's most similar to, Elfrid Payton. You know, that's not a hot name to be throwing around right now, but He still does provide value, almost gets triple doubles pretty often. I could see that happening for Ayo Dosunmu, just a little bit less unaware of his weaknesses than Payton is. And then also, I've tweeted this plenty, I think he's the closest prospect, Ayo Dosunmu, to Chris Dunn. I think, you know, I said Atlanta's a good fit. Atlanta really wanted Chris Dunn to revive his career. Didn't really get a chance to do that. He's always fought injuries. But I think the Hawks taking a chance on him could really be what they thought they would get from Chris Dunn. So that's the Ayo Dosunmu scouting report. Coming up next will be Scottie Pippen Jr. of Vanderbilt. Really attractive name just based on his, you know, the family name and everything. But first, I wanted to talk to you about Credit Karma and Rock Auto. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your instant karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Credit Karma Money has already given away over $3 million in instant karma to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free, and there's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll be automatically entered to win $1 million. Credit Karma Money, progress starts here. And right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and to start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So whether it's for your daily or classic driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. For weeks now, you've heard me talk about RockAuto.com's catalog, and I cannot say enough about how easy and unique it is to navigate. You can easily and quickly see all parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck and write locked on, and that's two words, L-O-C-K-E-D space O-N in there. How did you hear about us? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, so as promised, going to go over Scottie Pippen Jr. here, the 6'1", 6'2", 170 guard from Vanderbilt. As a sophomore, really broke out, went from all-freshman team, again, as a freshman, to an all-SEC team member as a sophomore. Went to 21 points per game. That was up from 12 the year before. And that was with an increased field goal percentage. That was up from 39% to 43% on the year. Shot about the same three-point percentage, 36%. Really increased his free throw percentage. And a little bit less free throw attempts, 22 total. But went from 71% to an even 85% from the line. So overall, really improved his efficiency. And then the other areas, 5 assists per game, 3 rebounds per game, just about 2 steals per game, only a couple blocks for the total year. One area he really needs to improve on is turnovers. I'll just start with that. That's going to be a rough area for him. He averaged 4 per game as a sophomore. It's a major red flag, which is probably the biggest issue I have for him currently. And I'm going to do this a little bit different. So his tools are scoring and defensive disruption, that two-way guy. He's a really good ISO scorer, can get his own bucket, but going to go start with the negatives on this one. It's actually a pretty short list, just each of the three are potentially fatal flaws. So, and two of them are pretty similar to their one area. So obviously, you know, he needs to reduce his turnovers. I think that is a massive room for improvement for him. He does not take chances at the right time. He's a little bit reckless in taking those hard chances. Just needs to be a little bit more disciplined as a playmaker. As for the other two, it relates to his shooting. His base is kind of like Ayo Dosunmu. His base on his jump shot isn't steady all the time. He moves a lot, doesn't really, he kind of stays square, unlike Dosunmu, but he just flails his legs out unnecessarily. I don't really know why, but that is something that really needs to get better. And then also, he just needs to be more consistent as a shooter. The 36% was nice, but he missed a lot of open looks this year from three. So if he can get better at knocking down those open looks, his offense really takes off. I think the 20 points per game was actually underrating how good he could have been had he just been a little bit better of a shooter. So going to the pros, I'm going to stick with the shooting. One thing I really like about his shot is just that the touch is really nice. You know, he gets a clean follow through every time. There's really no concerns on the form. Offhand's a little bit wide, but not really an issue worth nitpicking, I don't think. As for his defense, he is outstanding on that end. That's probably his best trait. He forces so many turnovers. I talked about the turnovers he gives away on the offensive end, but he almost gets those back a good amount of time. He forces live ball turnovers, forces travels, forces passes out of bounds. So he can really get in the way. Even though he's only 6'1", 6'2", he's going to be a pest on the defensive end. And additionally, you know, he's a good athlete. He can stay in front of guys, quick feet, everything like that. So not a lot to dislike outside of, you know, you can maybe argue, we don't know his wingspan. So you could argue that his defense may not translate as cleanly, but I still think it's going to be really good just because of his motor and pestiness on that end. Back to the offense, you know, he really is outstanding. I said this earlier, as an isolation scorer, thrives at drawing contact, can get to the line at ease. He finishes at the rim well, and he can capitalize by making those free throws. So you really have to guard him one-on-one. He can beat you really easily, quick first step and everything. And he's also got a tight handle and knows how to use his handle to his advantage. Sometimes, you know, he'll dribble into traffic, which is part of the turnovers, but I do think the turnovers are mostly passing-based, not handle-based. So that's what I've got as pros and cons on Scottie Pippen Jr. He's a two-way guard. I think that, you know, in terms of a little bit more scoring-oriented than this player, he reminds me a lot of Derek White. Not necessarily the biggest player, but he can get under your skin and he will make stops one way or another. So, and obviously Derek White's a pretty decent shooter. Hopefully Scottie Pippen Jr. can follow that trend. They remind me a lot of each other. The projected draft range, unfortunately, I don't really see an optimistic outcome here. I'd say the earliest is around 50 for him, which I don't know. I personally think it's just a lack of traction. I have him in my top 60 currently, but based on draft traction, I mean, it matters a lot. I don't know if he gets drafted. 50 is an optimistic outcome. The more realistic outcome is probably going undrafted. His expected role is being a backup two-way guard in a lineup that has to coexist with another or a true point guard. Despite his lack of size, he can coexist in a two-guard lineup. I don't really worry about that. He'll be a secondary creator with a bit more of a focus on scoring instead of playmaking, and then also defense, of course. So if you have a true point guard, you could really counter it by playing, you know, with some weaknesses in necessarily shooting or scoring in general, and might be an okay defender. You can counter it by having Scottie Pippen Jr. out there. I do see a rotation role for him. I think that's a very realistic outcome for him. His worst-case scenario, he gets unplayable. If the jump shot doesn't translate and the lack of size really hurts him, I think, you know, the percentages suggest that he will translate, but 43% from the field is not exactly the most promising number. It's a pretty swing number. If he can't knock down those wide-open threes and add shooting consistency, there's some concerns of how well he can stick in the NBA. I mean, his margin of error is pretty slim, being potentially undrafted and undersized. He exceeds his expectations if that shooting really climbs. I think there's potential to get it close to 40% in the NBA. I'm very high on his shooting. He shoots from deep. I think that kind of hurt his numbers. He has unlimited range. He can score. You know, I think that's going to open up a lot for him. He'll benefit from NBA spacing. So I think there's a lot to like on the Scottie Pippen Jr. front offensively, as well as the obvious fact that he's going to be a good defender in the NBA. So that's my scouting report for Scottie Pippen Jr. Coming up next, you know, talk about betonline.ag, the best place to place your bet. But after I get back, I'm going to talk about Matthew Gauzin out of France. But first, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action on betonline.ag. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get in the game as teams are making their runs in the playoffs. So if you want to bet on playoff games, betonline.ag is your place. Use promo code LOCKEDON, and that's one word, LOCKEDON, to get your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So last scouting report coming up, this one is on Mathieu Gauzin out of France. I'm not particularly confident in my French. I took Spanish in high school over French, so correct me if I'm saying it wrong. But Mathieu Gauzin is someone who has really caught my eye. He stood out in the FIBA U18 and U17 in 2018 and 2019. Really made a name for himself there. Signed pro in 2017 or 2018. Going to be 20 at the time of the draft, just turned 20 in February. He's 6'4", 160, so obviously needs to add weight. And for the year, this year in France, he is averaging 7.3 points per game, 2.8 assists per game, 2.6 rebounds per game, a steal per game, 0.2 blocks per game. I think that's been every one of these guards have been 0.2 blocks, so nothing out of the ordinary there. With 1.8 turnovers per game, and that's on field goal percentages of 42%, 27% from three, and 74% from the line. So you can tell the jump shot has some issues. He does have a low release, but ultimately I do think he has three-level scoring upside. I'm not really worried about the percentages. It's a pretty clean jump shot with no major mechanical flaws outside of, you know, the low release. But the shooting stroke overall, there's no hitch. It's a pretty quick shot. He can shoot over defenders even with that low release. It would help if it got raised a little bit, but nothing too glaring on that front. But basically for Gauzin, the calling cards for him is, you know, some of his coaches have called him the fastest player they've seen, like under their guidance. He's incredibly quick. Think of RJ Hampton with that level speed. Also a guard, you know, at 6'4", he's able to handle the ball very well. Combo guard, probably a lead guard more, a little bit more than a scoring-minded guard, but he can do both very well. So he has great recovery ability on defense, outstanding athleticism. It roots with that high-end speed. He can really recover from anywhere just because of that athleticism. He can also jump really high. I mean, he checks all the boxes athletically. So he also, again, playmaking, he's really comfortable with both hands. He can drive left, pass left off of live ball dribbles. He really is almost the complete package on the offensive end. And honestly, I buy the defensive upside too. And being 20 years old in a pro league, obviously the stats don't jump out like they do in the NCAA. 7 points per game is actually pretty normal. It's not really out of the ordinary for someone to be averaging what he averages. You know, it's very rare you get the Luka Doncic's, the EuroLeague MVP get the high numbers, but young guys really just don't get as much minutes and opportunity to be that guy. So take those numbers with a grain of salt. The two biggest weaknesses for him, he needs to add strength and he has a low release on his jump shot. He is someone who I think his role automatically is a three-level scorer with playmaking ability. In the NBA, he's going to be able to get whatever he wants just because of that athleticism, ability to hit runners, things like that. He has a plethora of scoring moves, I should say, and he can really do anything he wants with a ball in his hands. Like, I can't emphasize that enough. So I think he ultimately has starting upside. I really do think that I don't want to get carried away, but I think that this guy is the sleeper of the draft just because what he does in Europe is going to translate cleanly. He plays with spacing. He's going to play with even better spacing in the NBA and better talent around him, which will, I think, even make him an even better playmaker. And ultimately, his shot will come along. You know, it's projectable enough where the 26.5% isn't going to sustain. That's going to get higher. That's not something that I'm really worried about. Free throw percentage is 74%. It's buyable. So he has good touch. I've seen it on the floaters. That's always something that you look for projecting a shot for me in terms of touch. I don't really see a way he's unplayable in the NBA. The worst case is he just doesn't come over to the NBA. he's really projected right now as a second round player, but I think if someone took him in the first round, I don't have a problem with it. I'm pretty new to Gauzin, but I think if I were, you know, projecting where I am in a month, I think he's going to end up near my top 30. So he's someone who I would start investing in. His high-end outcome is a starter in this league. That's just a complete player. I don't want to get too carried away again. I do think it could be a little bit higher than a starter. He's hiding in plain sight. He is a standout player. Greg Popovich has seen him back in the day. I think this was during one of the FIBA U18 or U19s a couple years ago. But he has made a name for himself. Tony Parker is pretty familiar with him. He has players familiar with him. He loves Nick Batum, the French connection. So I think Matthew Gauzin is a guy worth investing in. It's a little bit hard to find all these European clips, so I'm going off of a little bit limited sample size, but I have seen 5 complete games. It's a decent amount that is similar to what I watch in college basketball. So I hope you still trust that given the sample size, but he's someone who I think is just going to really make a lot of noise when he enters the league. So again, 6'4", 160, needs to add that weight and perfect his jump shot, master it a little bit more. But overall, he's going to be the guy. I think if you're betting on someone to be that hidden star from Europe in the second round, because it happens every few years. I mean, Nikola Jokic in, 2014 or 15 was a 41st pick or something like that. It happens. It's not that unheard of for European guys who don't have immediate short-term value to get overlooked and come over and really just tear up the league. I think he's got that ability. I don't really have a comparison for him, unfortunately. I'm still working on that, but think a combo guard, a lead guard with good size and just outstanding scoring ability. I think the rotation role is just so clear that I don't think there's really a comparison that makes this a big difference in terms of upside. So that's Matthew Gauzin. That's actually all I got today. I hope you enjoyed this episode on Ayo Dosunmu, Scottie Pippen Jr., and Matthew Gauzin. And I hope this opens your eyes a little bit to some sleepers I see in the draft. I think Gauzin is going to be a borderline first-round pick, like I said. Dosunmu, probably same range. And then Scottie Pippen Jr. is going to struggle a little bit to get drafted. But if you haven't, go ahead and subscribe and rate us 5 stars. It really means a lot. We do this show 4 times a week. There's me, Raphael, and then Sam and Cody. And then also go ahead and listen and follow the Locked On Today podcast. They've been great if you're trying to keep up with other sports and whatnot and just get an overall grasp on what's going on in the sports world. They're a great source for that. Thank you and have a wonderful rest of your day, and thank you for listening.